Track 23. Good morning. I'm Susanna Lingard and you're listening to Radio Manchester. Welcome to today's programme. Can mass tourism be sustainable? We have two experts with us to discuss this topic. Our first guest is Oliver Parkin, who is an expert on the effects of mass tourism, and Anna Moorhouse, a journalist who's written a lot about this topic. If I could start with you, Oliver, why should we be so concerned about the effect the tourist industry has on our world today?
Well, in many countries, tourism is the primary source of employment. And we should also bear in mind that about 1.8 billion tourists will be travelling to foreign countries within the next 15 years. That shows you the scale of the tourist industry and the effect it has on us all.
So, where is this development leading us to?
To big, big problems. Obviously, we as consumers have become addicted to the promise of cheap flights and inexpensive hotels. However, our holiday choices are often not good for the environment. If we were completely honest, these choices are helping to damage the environment. Just think of the emissions a flight to your holiday destination causes. And we shouldn't forget the residents of the tourist hotspots either. Most of the local people welcomed the first hotels, but now a lot of them find that holiday resorts do not only bring more employment to the region. In fact, the cost of land, houses, and even water have increased considerably for many local residents. Sadly, mass tourism doesn't always benefit everybody.
So, what should we do? Anna Moorhouse, you are a journalist who has done a lot of research into ways of making tourism more sustainable. Can you tell us a little about your findings, Anna?
First, let me take up the point Oliver has just made about the local people's attitude to tourist development. I went to Thailand last year, where I interviewed Mani Luang, a successful businesswoman, who set up her first holiday hotel in Phuket about 30 years ago. She told me that she first talked to representatives of the local community about their jobs and the handicrafts that were made and sold locally. After those talks, she decided to offer local craftsmen the chance to sell their products in her hotel. That is what I call a real contribution to bringing employment and prosperity to tourist resorts beyond the hotel doors. By the way, Mani Luang has become so successful that she now owns 90 hotels all over Southeast Asia.
Well, that certainly sounds like a formula for success. In recent years, sustainable tourism has become a catchphrase among travel agencies. But to what extent is the sustainable tourism and glossy travel brochures really sustainable, Oliver?
Well, I must admit that mainstream mass tourism is only starting to manage the social and environmental problems it has caused in some parts of the world. Nevertheless, as Anna's example shows, it is possible, even for large hotel chains, to make tourism sustainable.
Anna, what would you say about the future of sustainable tourism?